It may sound incredible, but our thoughts and our intentions are linked to electromagnetic activity in the body. The brain and nervous system function through electrical impulse, and when neurons fire in synchrony, they produce measurable electromagnetic waves. This is what an EEG reads. Some scientists would even argue that consciousness itself is an emergent electromagnetic field created by coordinated neural firing. But I would argue more towards a receiver model of brain-body-mind cohesion, that our bodies are highly complex biological antennas for receiving a fundamental creative force that we call consciousness. But what I want to stress here is that these ideas of auras and chakras and energy points, it's not just woo-woo hippie New Age stuff, okay? It's been dismissed through that stereotype. But we know quite literally that our bodies are energetic. When you concentrate or meditate, the patterns of brainwave shift. Advanced meditators have been shown to produce very coherent high-frequency brainwaves, such as gamma oscillations, that indicate that many neurons are oscillating in unison. On an even deeper level, the controversial orchestrated objective reduction theory, or ORC-OR, by physicists Roger Penrose and anesthesiologist Stuart Hameroff, who I had an incredible interview on this subject with, if you want to get deeper into the quantum consciousness model that these two brilliant people are looking at. But they posit that quantum level processes in the microtubules inside your neurons, these tiny little components inside our neurons, these might actually underline consciousness. Remarkably, emerging evidence shows that microtubule networks and neurons can support ultra-fast electrical oscillations, essentially resonating at frequencies from kilohertz to gigahertz and even terahertz scales. These are essentially electromagnetic vibrations at the subcellular level. During ordinary states, such signals might be incoherent and cancel out. But if one enters a focused, coherent mental state, say deep meditation or intense intentionality, these tiny vibrations could synchronize, amplifying like an orchestra playing in tune.
There has to be entanglement in the brain, and I think fundamentally the brain, consciousness at least, is a quantum system embedded in a classical system. The microtubules themselves, they're inside neurons, they're made of proteins called tubulin, these peanut-shaped proteins that self-assemble into microtubules, and there's about a billion tubulins per neuron, and, you know, depending on hundreds, let's say, of microtubules. We need something in biology to quite literally orchestrate these objective reduction events and turn the proto-conscious noise into Beethoven or Brahms or the Beatles or whatever. And that's what the microtubules do.
In principle, a human brain in a highly coherent state could act like a broadcast source of organized electromagnetic waves, a biological transmitter of intention. In addition to the brain, the human body has other electromagnetically active systems. The heart, for example, generates a strong rhythmic magnetic field that extends beyond the body. Practitioners of techniques like heart-brain coherence meditation can actually bring these fields into stronger alignment. Again, it sounds like hippie woo-woo stuff until you look at it from a strictly electrochemical biophysiological level. All of this suggests that when you hold a clear intention or enter a meditative state of focus, your body's electromagnetic field isn't static. It becomes more ordered and potentially stronger. As a signal, humans can emit detectable electromagnetic energy and even light when focused. At the Rhine Research Center, scientists used light-sensitive equipment to test people during intense mental concentration, such as healers projecting energy or meditators sending intentions. They found that some individuals could willfully produce bursts of infrared and ultraviolet light from their bodies, well above baseline levels. In one series of tests, meditation groups spiked the ambient UV photon counts up to 100,000 times higher than normal when they projected intention, and the counts dropped back when they stopped focusing. So this isn't visible light, but it's real electromagnetic radiation measured by detectors. Likewise, other studies on biofield emissions have recorded ultra-weak photon release, what's called biophotons, from humans that correlate with mental intention. For example, healers concentrating on emitting chi from their hands showed significant increase in biophotonic output during the intention period. Overall, researchers have observed that biophoton emissions can be modulated by conscious intention and altered by mind-body states. In simple terms, when you focus your mind, whether through prayer, meditation, or the directed desire to communicate, your body seems to literally shine a little more, albeit invisibly to our own eyes, and its electromagnetic fields become more pronounced. We're only beginning to understand this bioenergetic aspect of consciousness, but it suggests a mechanism by which the mind can interface with the environment through physics. If we put the pieces together, a plausible scenario emerges to explain the experiences that I had with orange orbs that I feel responded to my thoughts. The plasma UAP study indicates that these living plasma, these UFOs, are attracted to electromagnetic radiation and hot spots of energy. When I went outside with a strong, coherent intention to make some form of contact, essentially broadcasting a mental invitation to beings of light, I may have unknowingly turned myself into an EM beacon of some form. In a meditative or trance-like state of focused consciousness, my brain's neural oscillations and perhaps even quantum-level vibrations in microtubules could have become unusually synchronized. This could translate into a surging, structured electromagnetic field around me, rich in oscillating frequencies and maybe even bursts of photons tied to my intention. And it's fascinating to note that in some esoteric traditions, enlightened or meditative individuals are depicted with a halo or a glow, perhaps an ancient artistic nod to this subtle light body that we can emit when we're in states of higher levels of consciousness. And by the way, I'm not trying to say I'm an enlightened being. I think that we have the capability of slipping into these states, but this isn't the typical human experience. You know, 99% of my time, I would consider myself to be relatively unenlightened, and I have moments and flashes of intuition and experiences like this. So I think it's more about we're capable of falling into these more sublime, more natural, more fundamental states of consciousness, which ultimately we're actually trying to get back towards. But don't put yourself on a pedestal and say that you're able to do that 24/7. No one in the human world is capable of doing that 24/7, and I'm certainly not saying that. But I think that there is definitely, a level of correlation between the depictions of the light body and the actual electromagnetic processes that are happening in your body when you get into meditative and deeper or more expansive states of consciousness. And if a plasma-based intelligence in the vicinity feeds on electromagnetic energy, it could detect these kind of energetic changes. I have to think of my own focused mind as almost like turning on a small lighthouse, a subtle, non-random electromagnetic signal that's radiating into the night sky, into reality. Perhaps to some form of plasmic entity, this could stand out against the background noise of the vacuum. In the same way that the tether in the STS-75 drew in dozens of plasma orbs by emitting a strong electromagnetic field, perhaps a human in deep coherent meditation might draw the attention of a nearby plasmic phenomena, plasmic intelligence, and perhaps my thoughts broadcasted could be both metaphorically and physically real, a kind of biophysical invitation of some form. And these were the most visceral experiences I had with any form of phenomena. I had plenty of strange, fleeting light phenomena occurring in the starry night skies, but these four events, which I've spoken about on a number of YouTube videos, if you want to go through the channel and have a look at the testimonies that I've given on my own experiences, I had experiences with these orange orbs of light. And one of those experiences involved them coming down from the sky and hovering only a few feet above the roof of my house, 3-5 feet above the roof of my house. And, this was a life-changing series of experiences that catalyzed me into creating Project Unity and doing everything I'm doing now. So I find it very interesting that this paper, it just feels like there are some really interesting connections and correlations between this idea of plasmic intelligence, and perhaps we're actually interfacing with another form of intelligence that's around us quite consistently, but is only making itself known to us when we produce a high enough electromagnetic burst, a high enough field, and maybe they're not even that intelligent and they just come and swim up to you because you're a form of energetic food source or a form of energetic enticement, like a moth to a flame. It's hard to know if there's an extreme degree of intelligence or if it's just a relatively animalistic but plasmic creature that is just responding intuitively or instinctively to your electromagnetic output. It's a very interesting concept. And if these plasma forms are a kind of proto-conscious life, albeit not biological, but a form of life, it's conceivable that they might resonate with consciousness itself. In quantum biology, we can look at consciousness and quantum fields as intertwined. If orchestrated objective reduction, ORCOR, is correct, conscious moments are essentially quantum states collapsing that are influenced by fundamental space-time geometry. So in a speculative vein, one could imagine a resonant coupling between a focused human mind and a plasma mind, perhaps via shared quantum frequencies or electromagnetic vibrations. While it's far from proven, this idea that mind can interact with matter via underlying fields is absolutely being explored at the frontiers of science. For instance, experiments in parapsychology have long reported that human intention can affect random number generators or even the behavior of cells at a distance, hinting that consciousness might have non-local influences, which I think it certainly does. If a plasma UAP, UFO phenomena has some form of awareness or sensitivity, it might literally sense an actively seeking consciousness and respond in kind. At the very least, the practical physics says it would notice a spike in local electromagnetic energy and perhaps it would be curious. So when I pushed out my intentions into the universe, which is absolutely how my orb experiences came into being, it started with me in my back garden getting into a basic meditative state and very clearly modeling my thoughts around the desire, the intention to have some form of contact, to have something reciprocate the same level of energy, the same thought process that I was putting out there. If something wanted to respond in kind, I was opening that doorway in my mind and in my body and in my spirit, you could say. And it worked because I had these orb experiences on multiple occasions when I was doing these practices. So I look at it less from a woo-woo spiritual perspective, but that has merit. I'm not mocking it, but the wider world has mocked that element of it for far too long. You have to recognize that it's kind of cringy. A lot of the ways in which people discuss these things, it's quite cheesy and, you know, very spiritually leaning. If you just look at it from a biochemical and biophysics standpoint and look at the bleeding edge of science and look at quantum physics in our microtubules inside the neurons and how the science is changing, you begin to recognize that actually there is a level of credulity to this that isn't being given its due diligence just yet, but it will be because the proof is coming. The proof is coming very quickly as we develop these models and as we begin to accelerate our understanding of the deeper layers of the kind of basement of reality in the quantum realm. Regardless, I just think that it's very interesting that these things are beginning to confirm the spiritual stuff. Even if you shrugged your shoulders and rolled your eyes at the kind of new age spiritual way of looking at things, there's a lot of evidence that's actually coming up in the biophysics departments. And so I think that this is a very interesting kind of correlatory symbiosis, this paper, this research paper on plasmic intelligence, because it opens up a door to understanding what you might be interacting with when you have these orb experiences. When you interact, are you in some way handshaking with a plasmic intelligence? Are you in some way giving it a way of interacting with you? And this is, again, something that the Buddhists in spiritual tradition would call a tulpa, a psychic manifestation. They would say to ignore these orbs, that these are just part of the meditative journey. The real journey is to get to true silence and true darkness. Everything that pops up in, on the way towards that journey, on the way towards that destination, should be ignored. Orbs and elves and UFOs and flying saucers, don't worry about all of that. It's distractions. They're baubles, Christmas baubles hanging up to be ignored. I don't know if I agree with that, but that's definitely one of the modes of thought for the Buddhists. But I think that this paper offers a very interesting thought experiment for what you might be actually seeing and interacting with when we have these phenomena come and visit us and experience us, because we're in these highly energetic states and these seem to be drawn towards those kind of electromagnetic pulses and influxes in energy. So what do you think? Do you think that these orbs that people have been experiencing, myself included, perhaps yourself included, all the way through history, could they actually be a form of plasmic intelligence, not from another dimension or from another planet, but truly a part of the universal evolutionary dynamic on a plasma level? And if so, if plasma can be intelligent and these balls of light or these orbs of light are in some way a form of self-organized plasma, what does that say about the stars? If this is accurate, would that not suggest that the stars themselves could be some of the most conscious beings in the entire universe? Just some food for thought to consider if we're looking at plasma as an intelligence, because the sun, the stars, they are self-organized plasma. So, very interesting. A link will be in the description box below for the research paper. If you want to read it, I highly recommend you do. I think it's very interesting. Links to the discussions with Mr. X that I had years back on plasmic intelligence and exotic vacuum objects and self-organizing plasma, that's all going to be included in the description box below. Please do support me if you can on things like Patreon or by becoming a YouTube member. You get early access to my videos, like my documentaries and my interviews and things like that. And you also get access to our Discord server, which is a fantastic place to hang out. So it really helps, and it helps me grow my platform. It helps me commit as much time as I can to doing this kind of stuff. In the meantime, I have a lot of things in the pipeline. A pretty big announcement that I'm not going to say anything about just yet, other than the fact that I've got a pretty big announcement. But that's coming very soon. I have something pretty awesome coming up. So looking forward to surprising you all with that. In the meantime, please do subscribe, like, share, comment. And thank you again. See you next time.